Where has all the time gone? We're more than halfway through November, and I believe the last time I uploaded was in October, like the early part. I think it was October 5th. And normally I upload 3 times, sometimes up to 5 times in a given month. And the truth is, I recorded content, but I never uploaded it. And in this episode, I'm going to explain why and my plans for what this podcast will be in 2022. So let's backtrack to when I first started this podcast. One of my original intentions was to hold myself accountable. I knew that because I had procrastinated on writing for so many years, I needed to use some hacks to get me to be consistently committed to writing and finishing my scripts. And so I'm someone who has my own personal code of ethics, meaning if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. So I knew that if I publicly said I was going to do something through this podcast and then didn't do it and had to say that I didn't do it, that fear of public humiliation would motivate me to write. It would put pressure on me so that I would finish my goals. And guess what? It worked. I was very consistent in both 2020 and 2021. To be honest, I was consistent to a degree in 2019, but I was using different hacks. And what happened was I would outgrow that hack. It wouldn't work for me anymore to be consistent. So then I would use a different one. So 2021, I was using this podcast as an additional hack, but now I've outgrown it as well. I don't feel like I need that negative motivation to keep me accountable. And even when I haven't uploaded my beginning of the year check-in, my mid-month check-in, and my end of the month check-in, I've still done what I was supposed to do. So I don't feel like I need the hacks anymore because I've outgrown that deficiency. And I trust myself to continue to be consistent for the rest of this year and into 2022. So it's unlikely that I will post episodes about my check-ins anymore. I just don't need it. And that's a good thing. So I will be moving more into this becoming an audio drama and a fictional podcast. That is my goal for 2022. And I always wanted it to evolve into that. So those were my first two goals. My other goal with this podcast was to just share so that people can learn, but also be validated in their journey. So many of us know about people when they are successful. We don't see the behind the scenes and the struggle and how long it took, the no's, the yeses, the curveballs that the person had to work through. And so I just really wanted to share my journey so that other people knew that their journey was their journey and was just accepted. There's no right way to be a successful screenplay writer because there are so many different ways people have gotten to where they want to be. So I just thought by my sharing of my individual journey, other people will share theirs, but also just feel like my story is my story. My journey is my journey. And it's not right or wrong. It doesn't need to be in comparison of somebody else. It's uniquely me and it's perfect. And then, of course, When you're starting out, there's so much to learn, and I wanted to make it a little bit easier for some people, especially just like how you have to navigate the industry and like how there's sometimes awful advice. I would say it's 60-40. 60% good advice, and that 60% is from me like intentionally finding and then reworking with people who get it. But there's been probably a little bit more than 40% of sludge. So maybe it's 58 percent good instead. And it's like it just, I don't want it to sound like I'm speaking badly about Script Analyst, because I have used the peer-to-peer program on Coverfly, which has gotten me a lot of awful advice. Some great advice, but a lot of awful advice. There's also been We Screenplay, Blacklists, what else? Other competitions like Blue Cat, Barnstorm. There's been a lot of these other places that have not really given me great quality advice. Nichols did give me good advice, and it did help me evolve my script even more. But there's been a lot of stupid statements from people. And I actually, what I did was I took someone's advice once and I just presented it to the same competition to see if it would place higher, and it got the lowest rating ever. So I'm like, I know what TV and movies are. I've been a cinephile for years, which means I just watch a lot of movies. I was raised by someone who was a screenplay writer, wanted to be a novelist, wanted to get into film, and an uncle who wanted to do the same thing. They were siblings, my mother and my uncle. Both of them are writers, both of them were screenplay writers, and both of them wanted to be filmmakers. So there was just a lot of movies and TV shows. So I know that. I know what it is like to consume the content. And so when I hear someone saying completely the opposite of which something should be, I just throw it in the trash, right? It doesn't work. However, when I was starting, I just wanted to be very open because I was like, I'm new. But I just kept realizing that I know a lot more than I was giving myself credit for. So at this point, I'm really good at sludging through the shit and finding the gold nuggets of truth and being able to take good advice and even sometimes bad advice and still improve my script. So I'm really happy with where I am in my writing. And so I will still share with people some of the things I learn. Like, I do want to get more into log lines and like processing feedback in coming episodes. And hopefully me sharing a bit about my story has helped some people so far just be validated in their own journey. But at this point with this podcast, it's going to mainly move into being solely an audio drama and fictional podcast. I'm still playing around with it a little bit. But don't expect the, like I said, the check-ins. Don't expect a lot of me sharing about my journey every month. And I'll give some tips and tricks intermittently throughout the coming year in the hopes that it will help other people. I'm just ready at this point to more so share my content rather than my personal story. Okay. And it might change. It might change that the YouTube just becomes the fictional podcast and I keep this for like tips and tricks. It's still evolving. I'm still figuring things out. But my goal right now in 2022 is to share my content, my stories, my scripts. So now I just want to share with you what's been happening in the last couple of months and anything new that I feel like I need to share about the coming months. So there's been so much that's happened since October. So first of all, I knew that. I'm just typing a little bit to give myself some notes. I don't know if you can hear the typing. Because there's two main things I don't want to forget. First, I knew that I was going to have to deal with a court case, and I knew this court case was going to take up a lot of my energy, a lot of my focus, and that I was going to be stressed out. And when I'm stressed out, I sleep more. So I have less time and energy to do a podcast and do other things. So the court case happened in November. It took 3 years to actually get in front of a judge, but I believe the court case went well. I sent in my final statement. Now the judge has 90 days to make a verdict. I'm confident that I will win. Originally, I was completely confident, but then my trust in the judge kind of waned a little bit because some of the questions they were asking me, I was like, that's not applicable to what this case is about. Are you not understanding what the accusations and complaint is? So, and then just not remembering what we had just talked about the day before, I brought up something that was said prior, and this person just still didn't, they didn't remember, and they said, no, that didn't happen. I was like, it did happen. Like I was there. So my confidence is a little bit shook when it comes to this judge, but because it was recorded, I know this person will go back and read it and they will know that I was telling the truth. And then I'm pretty sure I will win. I don't know how much I will be compensated, but it's just enough to like win. And this is really important right now because of everything that's happening in the US with Kyle, and I forget his last name, and him being acquitted of all charges. So I just know how important it is for a Black person to be able to say some type of injustice took place and prove it in court, and then the verdict being in favor of the actual victim, right? So that's what I'm planning to have happen in my own personal life. So, and now that this court case is over, a weight is off my shoulders. I have so much more energy. My focus is better. Just my whole body, my sense of being is more relaxed again. And I can't write when I'm stressed out. I can't. What happens is it feels like I have ADD, where my thoughts are just jumping to different things. So that's why meditation is so important, right? But yeah, since I knew I had to prepare for the court case in October and then have it in November, that was one of the other reasons I wasn't uploading. Also, I was stressed out about moving. I wanted and planned to move in 2019. But the place I thought I was going to move to since 2017 was not on the market. So I was just going to go and rent in the proximity of the space. So in 2017, I met someone, we became friends. She's semi-retired. She's like a grandmother energy to me. And every time I was meditating, I kept hearing, you're supposed to live in her house. You live in her house. And then later on, it was like, you buy her house. You buy her house. And I kept trying to bring this up to her. And she was like, no, you can rent at some of the hotels in the space. And I was like, what? We've gotten closer and closer because the pandemic hit and I then became in charge of like the tech for part of her charity. And I do that every month since the pandemic started. So it's been over a year that I've been doing the tech. So she just messaged me this month saying, oh, I've moved and I'm going to put my house on the market and I feel like you are the right person to buy it. And I was like, thank goddess. It took so long. So I was going to force a decision, and I know this. I even give this advice to other people. Do not force a decision. Because when you're forcing a decision, it's normally the wrong one. So I was just ready to move. I've been ready to get out of Canada for so many years. And of course, again, because of the pandemic, I was sequestered in Canada, which actually turned out to be a good thing because Canada has not been hit as hard by the pandemic. And it was good that I wasn't in the US during these weird upticks in the cases. And there is going to be a fifth wave this winter. So I was looking at places to buy this entire year. And I was thinking maybe Point Roberts. And then I was thinking Bellingham. But then when I found a, like a tiny home that I could purchase because I want to buy a home, but then travel a lot. I've been wanting to travel for years. And so I found a place. I started the application to buy, and it just was so complicated. They couldn't do it online. So then they were like, you have to give it to us in person. I was like, I'm in Canada. The border's closed. And they're like, oh, then you have to like send it in the mail. And I was like, I don't trust the mail with all this sensitive information. And then I just was like, no, I'm not moving to Bellingham after all. And then in meditation, I kept hearing that there was going to be some type of natural disaster in BC. And I thought likely Washington because they're so close. In meditation, I actually saw one of my friends who lives in Princeton, BC, saying that there was some type of natural disaster and that she needed to come stay and live with me. So I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. And she kept telling me to buy a house there in Princeton. I was like, no, there's going to be a natural disaster. And I just kept getting annoyed by her incessantly saying that to me. So I stopped talking to her for a bit. Because she was just getting on my nerves. That happens with friendships, people. We need a break. And so, those of you who are not in BC, you probably don't know this, but this week, yeah, I'm trying to remember if it was last week or this week, but yeah, this week it flooded. Merritt, BC, Princeton, BC, Surrey, BC, Abbotsford, BC, all of them have flooded with massive amounts of water. And the places have been shut down. Like Princeton, BC, their electricity was gone and it was going to drop below freezing. And they were like evacuating people. And so I was just like, yep, knew it. Wasn't supposed to move to Princeton. But then later on, I found out that it also flooded across the border into Bellingham. And there was another place I was thinking of renting or buying. There's a place in Lummi on the Lummi Reserve in Bellingham, and it flooded, and the roads are closed. So there's a bunch of roads closed to get to Vancouver, so we're not getting imported as much imported goods, but we're not also able to export these goods. And so many farms are in Abbotsford and in northern BC, and they lost their livestock. They lost so much. And so there's going to be an uptick in prices in BC. And I'm just like, okay, yep, time to go. So I'm glad I didn't purchase in Bellingham. I'm glad I didn't move to Princeton. And I'm glad that I'm about to leave Vancouver. I plan to leave in January. And this house that I'm going to move to, it's not a guarantee that I'll be able to buy it because it's a gated community. And that's not meant to sound snooty and like they're rich. It really is just a community. It's like an intentional community. They want to make sure everyone respects and honors their faith tradition if they're going to move and live there. So I have to meet with the board of directors this Monday virtually to get approval to rent. It's likely that I will be approved. And then when I'm there again, I have to meet them again in person to see if I'm approved to be a part of their assembly. And then I would have to then get additional approval to get the lease hold for the land and then buy the house. So there's still a few things in my way, which is one of the reasons I wanted to do it earlier. So it could have been so much easier to do it now. But the person that's in charge of the office is quite slow and incompetent. The only reason I know that they're going to contact me for Monday or Tuesday to do a Zoom is because the woman that's selling her house talked to someone in the board of directors and told me. The office assistant did not tell me anything still. and it's been years of me trying to get the paperwork to her and her. Anyway, it wasn't supposed to happen sooner because if I moved there sooner, she wouldn't have been selling. But she has bought another house and she's moved out and she's trying to sell her current house. And the beautiful thing about this house is that there's three separate apartments within the house. So I wouldn't have to deal with anyone and risk COVID and all those things. So I'm like, yes, this might be it. I wanted to buy a house earlier in my 30s, but buying my house, my first house at 36 is fine. So that's big news because I was so stressed out about where to move to. But now I have a clear path. And again, I'm waking up in a better mood. A weight is off my shoulders. It was really the court case and moving. Those were the main things. So now, in other great news, now that those are behind me, my writing. So I found someone to animate one of my shorts. It's called Pandemic Problems. It's meant to be a reminder to get mental health support and emotional support if you need it. So the beautiful thing about working with this animator was I realized just how much I need to put into the script to really clarify things visually. When I first started, that was one of the notes. They're like, you can't just say what the person is thinking. You have to actually say how they're conveying what they're thinking visually. And so I honored that note and I've learned different ways of communicating in the script, but I noticed that still I was not putting exactly how I saw it. So it's a really weird balancing act because you have to make sure you're not overwriting the script, but also conveying enough. So there's one part in this short where there's a boy standing in line to get donated food. And I just wrote it like that. There was a few more words. But the way that the animator animated it, I was like, no. That doesn't look at all like the person's been waiting in line all day. So when I originally wrote it, my vision was there was this overview of this long line, people standing in line, and this little boy kind of in his pajamas waiting in line, and the sun passing and their shadows shifting and stretching as the sun went down. And then him finally getting the donated food when it was dark. And to me, that was visually showing that he had been waiting in line all day from the crack of dawn to get donated food. And he's like a little boy. That shouldn't be his job. So I realized, oh, that was stuck in my head. I didn't actually say exactly that in the script because I wanted the script to just be one page. So I whittled out a lot of things to make it short. So I just realized, okay, where in other scripts am I doing that where I'm not saying exactly what the vision is because I feel like it might be too long or I feel like I might not convey it well. So this back and forth with the animator has really helped me figure out my voice even more. So the animator didn't put it like the vision of like the sun and the shadows, which is fine. It's still the way they animated it still works. And I'm really happy. So that's done. The animation is done, but it took weeks, a lot of back and forth to get it right. I think that in the future, I'm going to work with a different animator just because there were a few things that I felt should have been obvious. But this person is also young and hopefully they learn from working with me. And maybe I'll just tell them some of the things and they'll get it and we can still work together in the future. Such as there was confusion over who was typing. And so I said, make it so that the person has gloved hands, like with the little fingers exposed. And the person added that, but not to the final scene. So the hand doesn't have the gloves at the final scene. I'm like, it's still not really completely conveying it. Now I could have followed up with them about it. I still might do that again in the future. But for right now, it just was so time consuming. It had taken up so much time, you know, saying things over and over again. So I just was like, all right, it's fine. It's good enough. So that's really the only thing. And if it really bothers me, I will just reach out to the animator again and get that fixed. But I just want to ask the person that I now hire to be the Foley artist if it's confusing. So that was the tricky thing, finding the right person to do the sound for it, because the animator just animated it. So I went on Upwork and I found a great person. There were quite a few people who offered, which is what I like about Upwork, but a lot of them were saying it was going to take 11 hours to add simple sounds to something that is 2 minutes and 22 seconds. And I was like, I don't think it should take you 11 hours. So I'm not gonna let it cost me extra money for somebody else just being very slow. So I found someone who does it all day, every day, and is very efficient and proficient. And I just love talking to him. Like, he's is an Aussie and he moved to New Zealand. He also moved to Singapore. And those are the two main places I want to travel to in my life. And he just seemed like he got it. So I hired him. It should not be more than $100 for him to do it. It could be as low as $80, depending on how long it takes him. So I'm really ecstatic to be working with him. And I'm probably going to work with him again in the future. See, this is what I'm doing. I'm starting to build those relationships. This is what I've always wanted to do. So by December, I should have the animation and the sound all merged together. And I will put it on our YouTube. I might do the audio part of it on this podcast, but I definitely will be putting it on YouTube so you get to see some of my content. I actually have read through Pandemic Problems on my YouTube channel already, and I'll put it in the description of this episode, the YouTube channel. So you can go and listen to the script, and then you can see how it then became an animated short. It's so much fun. This will chart. Let me do some math. I'm trying to figure out how much this is going to cost me. Because to be honest, I paid the person a little bit more than what they were asking. So it's like $250 is the price to do this animated short. Now, it can be cheaper for other people, depending on who they work with, but I specifically was seeking out a black animator, a black female animator. That's what I wanted. So I wanted to pay her a little bit more than what I might pay somebody who might just be a student and wanting to build their resume. Because they could do it for free. That's what I was told by somebody else. They're like, you can hire someone that will just do it for free that's in school. But I wanted to fire, my mind's jumping, sorry. I wanted to hire someone who had been doing it for years and was a black woman. And I wanted to give her a bit of a bonus. And then I just really, for the Foley artist, the sound designer, I just wanted someone that I felt like really got it and I had a good connection with, and that's Alex. So, yeah, in the future, I might do crowdfunding to bring in the income for paying other people. But this is just my first little experimentation, and it's fun for me. It's like my Christmas gift to myself. So, yeah, look forward to that. Keep an eye out for that. I will have Pandemic Problems up on the YouTube in December. So, in other news, and this is a big deal to me, one of my clients that I've been working with for years, he came to some of my events that I hosted in Vancouver. He runs a production company and gaming company in India, and there's a sister company of it in Canada. So he says that he's too busy to write the screenplay, and he asked me if I would write it. So this would be my first paid gig for writing a screenplay. Oh, I'm heartbroken about everything he's gone through because, you know, India was hit hard by the pandemic. And unfortunately, when he went there, he got COVID. He developed diabetes from COVID. He's trying to get his family from India to Canada. There's just so much going on for him. But the story he wanted to tell was about the addiction problem in Canada and how it's affected, how COVID has affected certain people with addictions and how they pulled through. So it's a story that I feel is important, and he has a spiritual kind of like tint to it. It's not like exactly like a religious film, but there's a bit of a spiritual part to it, a little bit of Hinduism. So by 2022, I should be a paid screenplay writer for the first time ever. And then he's going to produce it and all things like that and film it and direct it. Woo! So this means that by 2 years and a half, because I started in June of 2019, 2 years and a half, it's taken me to get to this point of being a paid screenplay writer. We're going to like hammer out the contract and the details in December, and then I will have to take some time to write it, and then the payment. So by January, February of 2022, potentially, I will be paid for writing my first screenplay. And then, of course, I will pr promote this film once it's done. And then, you know, I'll be in the credits. Oh yeah. So I'm so excited about this. I wasn't even expecting him to hire me, for doing the screenplay writing. He hired me for other work that I do, and then he's just like, I would like for you to write the screenplay. And I was like, oh. So keep going. I hope that is like an affirmation, a confirmation to people to keep going, that your work will pay off. I kind of want to cry because it's just taken me so long, it feels, but I know that other people, it's taken them longer. And I'm happy about the inclusivity and diversity and representation that's happening in Hollywood now. It just feels like now is the time for me. So that's what's happening, and that's what will happen. And just to round out this episode, in October, November, I have continued to write. I have gotten feedback on every single episode of season one for BTW, I'm an Alien. And a lot of the issues I had with the script are now being worked through. So there was a certain joke that I was like, it's just not landing. I hate how that joke sounds. So I finally, just yesterday, fixed that joke. And I've gone through all eight episodes to take out the overuse of the word look, which somebody made me aware of. Essentially, all of those episodes are in one PDF, and I just did search on it, and it had over 300, I think 80 times that I used the word look. So now it's down to 139. Okay, it's a lot better than 300 something. And then I'm just gonna read, probably next week, read from episode one all the way to episode eight, just fine-tuning it a little bit. And then I might send it to Trevor Noah and The Daily Show, just their like fan mail thing. Or I might just continue to look for a manager to see if they can get it to them. Because I really love BTW and I really love the message of BTW. I have four seasons of content around it. But even if it doesn't get made, I might do just a simple trailer for it and put it on YouTube, or I might put it into like books. I might just make it a book series. I've also made so many new stories that I was not planning to do. I've mentioned before that one of my fears was that if I started writing screenplays, my creativity would open up more and I would be bombarded with stories and I wouldn't have the time or energy to write out all of those stories and then I would forget them. So what I'm doing now is I'm not writing out all of the stories, but if I have a dream, I have a story, I'm going to write out what the premise or the summary is of the story, and sometimes write it out as a series Bible or write it out as a short. So that's been happening. I normally dream a lot of my stories, so when I wake up in the morning, I record the dream, and sometimes I'll just write out the synopsis, or I'll actually write out the full short or series Bible. So this month, I wrote out something called SEEP, and it's an acronym. It's based on the future when reparations have been passed and a bunch of black people pool their reparations together to create new technology. But then, of course, someone tries to use that technology for their own selfish needs. I really like it. And actually, when I was reviewing the dream as I was writing it out, I was like, that person in the dream looks familiar. You know how we dream and there's just mindless people around in the dream and we don't know who they are? And then sometimes we actually know who the person is. But for this, I just couldn't put my finger on who the character in the dream reminded me of. And then all of a sudden, I put two and two together. I was like, that's Radha Blank. Rodimus Prime, who did a 40-year-old version. So when I finally realized what my subconscious was saying, I was like, okay, I'm going to put more of her mannerisms into the script. So now SEEP is 10 pages and it's a short. I sent it off to Barnstorm to get some feedback. I love it. It's one of my favorite stories. And also, had I not been going through this court case, I don't think I would have written this story. But also, had I not been watching a different show, I wouldn't have put the right song into the script. So one of the songs I just put, I knew they were singing at the end, and I didn't remember the song completely from the dream. And then I just put in a different song. I was like, ugh, I know this song might work. But then I was watching 4400, and they started singing a song, and I was like, that's it, that's the song. Because the song was about trees, and seep is about roots from a tree seeping deep. And so I was just like, this is the right song. So I actually DM'd her, just letting her know that she was in my dream, which I know is a little bit weird to get a message. And I told her, I know that's probably weird, but I just wanted to thank her for inspiring me. And that actually made me scared, like her potentially reading my DM. And it made me reread the script and elevate it even more. And I've mentioned in previous episodes that that was a hack that I used. I would DM prominent people like Tyler Perry, Spike Lee, Lee Daniels, other people, and Trevor Noah, talking about my script, and like the fear and the anxiety of them reading the DM and me not having a completed script to talk to them about, it made me write so much content, but then it stopped working. But it worked again with Rada. So I'm happy about that. I also had a dream about zombies. I keep redreaming this too. So it's like a series of dreams. So I wrote out the series Bible for that. I got feedback. I also wrote out something called Chosen Destination, Czar of Averni, Underpin of Water, Magic Has Won. There's been so many stories that have come through meditation, through dreaming, through daydreaming. And like I said, I can't write them out as features and stories because it's so time consuming. So I wrote out the title, the log line, the synopsis, sometimes the series Bible, and sometimes the short. And I would encourage all of you to do that as well so you don't forget the story. I actually had a dream with Issa Rae a while ago, and I recorded it, but I lost the recording, and so now I'm trying to remember what happened in the dream, and it's not as clear as it was before, and I'm beating myself up about it. So make sure you record whatever the idea is so you can revisit it later on. Currently, I have, as per my notes, over 45 completed scripts since 2019. And I have a laundry list of additional scripts I'm going to write. So I have a list of 80 in total that I need to write out before the end of 2025. So that just gives you a hint of how much my creativity flows. And also, I just love consuming content. So when I'm watching a show, all of a sudden I'll get ideas for another show. I recently watched Shang-Chi, and while I was watching it, episodes, scenes of conviviality start playing out in my mind from the fight scenes. So that's just the way my brain works. I'm hopeful that I won't get any new stories, and I don't want my list to be 100. I don't want 100 screenplays I have to write. Because once I commit to doing something, gosh darn it, I'm going to do it. So that's what's been happening. Getting new ideas, finishing old ideas, elevating other scripts. So I have elevated a lot of the other scripts I wrote, like Karmic Bait, Ghostly Ghoul Family, and I finally found the right person to voice Hunter. One of the reasons I haven't done the table read for GG Family is because I couldn't find the right person for Hunter. But I think I found the right person, and that will happen probably in January, just because there's so many holidays happening between the latter part of November and December. So I do plan to do that, and I do plan to share it on YouTube or this podcast or both. So that's something else to look forward to in the new year. So excited. Things are finally coming together. I'm moving. I'm going to win this court case. I'm going to be a paid screenplay writer. I'm finishing writing my stories. And then I'm just going to be ready to travel the world. I'm going to do some documentaries around spirituality and mediumship. I'm going to continue to learn and grow because I'm still taking courses. I'm still writing my own courses and offering it to people. Just, it feels like things are in alignment right now. So there you have it. I don't think there's anything else to share for the rest of this year. There might be, and I might record it and upload it. But if not, let this be my farewell for 2021. Happy holidays, happy new year, and I'll see you in 2022.